So I'm now joined by Lord Low of Dalston, who is the co-chair of the All-Party Parliamentary Group, which is going to be referred to as an APPG in this interview. And it's on eye health and visual impairment. And you're also the vice president of the RNIB and the former chair. Hello, Lord Low.
Hello, good morning.
Quite the title.
Quite a title, yes. Colin is good enough for me.
Colin, okay. Hello, Colin. So could you just summarise what an APPG is for the listeners of Connect Radio?
Yes. It stands, as you've said, for All Party Parliamentary Group, which means that it's a group of people from right across Parliament who devote particular attention to a particular specialised topic. And there are about 500 of these in Parliament, and this one that I'm co-chair of is on eye health and visual impairment. But you've got them on almost everything, from foreign policy to almost any... even a wine and spirit all-party group on almost any subject you can think of under the sun.
So it's a way for the political scape to be done in a kind of fair, not just on one side of the party, it's for everybody to be get involved and put their thoughts forward.
Yes, as well as the party political standoff in Parliament, there is actually a lot of collaborative activity amongst politicians across the party spectrum. And one of the forms that this takes is the all-party group. And the core of the all-party group is MPs and peers, but meetings are usually thrown open to those in the sector who are interested in the particular activity. So at our meetings on our health and visual impairment, we have a lot of people coming along from the sight loss organisations and blind and partially sighted people themselves. So we might get, you know, 30 or 40 people at a meeting, and the MPs and peers would actually be quite a small minority of those.
So why are you involved in this one directly?
You know, I'm blind myself, and there aren't so many of us who are blind in Parliament, so we tend to shoulder the responsibility for driving forward blind and partially sighted issues. And, I mean, I was there before David Blunkett came to the Lords, and before some of the new MPs were elected at the last election. I suppose you could say I was one of the senior blind people in Parliament. It would obviously fall to me to play a part in promoting blind and partially sighted issues. And when they were looking for somebody to chair the group, I was the one who was around at the time.
But I would hope that it's not just blind and partially sighted people that are going to push for this. I would hope that there's sighted members within the APPG who are also fighting the cause as well.
That's true. We've had a number of sighted MPs. John Barron was a chair for a good long time. Nusrat Ghani was a co-chair with me for the last 2 years or so. Yes, it's certainly not a monopoly of blind and partially sighted people. You're absolutely right that if blind and partially sighted people are going to make headway, they need to forge alliances with people who are not blind and partially sighted.
So what is this APPG on eye health and visual impairment all about? Can you tell the listeners a little bit more?
Well, we're aware that there are capacity problems in the health service, by which I mean there's a greater demand from people with sight problems for services from the health service than the service can easily meet. Demand is rising, and the capacity of the health service to meet rising demand, it doesn't grow commensurately with the rise in demand for services. So, I mean, one of the things that the all-party groups do is quite often hold an inquiry, parliamentary inquiry, into a particular aspect of the issues that the all-party group is concerned with.
Where they pull in evidence and stuff like that.
That's right. I'll tell you a bit more about that. So we're conscious that there's pressure on services, so we decided to set up an inquiry. First of all, want to document the scale of the problem and then consider what sort of things need to be done to relieve the problem. So we're conducting this inquiry. RNIB is providing an independent secretariat, and there's an expert advisory group with representation from the Royal College of Ophthalmologists, the College of Optometrists, the Optical Confederation, Birmingham Focus, there's an RNIB trustee on it, and patients from the Macular Society, the International Glaucoma Association, and RNIB. So that's the advisory group. The scope of the inquiry is commissioning and planning of eye health services at national and local level within England. We're particularly concerned with eye care for patients who have a condition where treatment is effective and ought to be readily available, but conditions which can worsen relatively rapidly as a result of delay in treatment. So there are conditions where it's quite important for the patient's safety to intervene quickly. The problem gets worse if it's not properly attended to. And I'm thinking of conditions such as glaucoma, diabetic retinopathy, and wet age-related macular degeneration. And you're right, you mentioned taking evidence. We had a call for evidence, which the inquiry was set up in the summer. So the call ran from the 28th of July to the 10th of October. We received over 60 responses from about 50 clinical commissioning groups, a small number of sustainability and transformation partnerships, 20 interest groups, including professional bodies, pharmaceutical companies, and patient organizations, Public Health England, the Department of Health, and NHS England. In addition to these submissions, the inquiry is considering learning from other health conditions about ways to improve health service planning and commissioning to address capacity issues. There's been an online and telephone survey of patients. Over 500 patients completed this survey, sharing their experiences and views. In addition, the inquiry has held two oral evidence sessions. On completion of the inquiry and publication of its report, RNIB will work collaboratively with patients and organizations from across the eye care sector to secure implementation of the inquiry recommendations, and RNIB will plan a range of activities during 2018 to engage parliamentarians, the press, the health service providers, and commissioners to draw attention to the recommendations and secure support for their implementation. So that's basically what we've been conducting the inquiry.
So when will the inquiry kind of come to an end?
Well, we've had our two evidence sessions, so it's been supported, as I say, by RNIB. And I mean, in a sense, the inquiry has come to an end. We're not taking any more evidence. And the Secretariat will be writing up the report, and I don't exactly know, but I would expect that the report and the recommendations will be available in the spring.
So we're kind of hoping for the listeners of Connect Radio that this is going to improve the services and the way that things are done for the blind and partially sighted community, and things are going to be made easier.
We certainly hope so. In the evidence session, we heard from a range of patients with different eye conditions and from different parts of the country. Although each patient had particular problems, a common issue that all patients had experienced was difficulty in booking vital follow-up appointments. And it appeared that in many cases, those responsible for booking the appointments had little understanding of the urgency of the appointments. So I hope that we'll be able to bring about greater understanding of the importance of booking follow-up appointments quickly, because, as I said earlier, that's really one of the major focuses of the inquiry, conditions where delay can be disastrous for the patient concerned.
So you're hoping to raise awareness and education off the back of this, as well as the other stuff you've already mentioned?
Yes, absolutely. Another thing we heard was that patients often felt that their conditions weren't explained to them well enough. So we would hope that one thing that the publication of its report would be able to get across was the perennial need, not just in eye care, quite generally in the health service. We hear of people, doctors not communicating properly with patients. My own impression is that things are better than they were in this respect, but you can never do too much to improve communication. So that's
and to help people understand.
Absolutely, and that was confirmed by our inquiry.
And finally, Colin, is there anything else you'd like to tell the listeners?
The representatives from the clinical commissioning group that we heard from told the inquiry about how they were tackling the issue by making greater use of community optometrists, and they told us that this had already led to a 12% decrease in hospital ophthalmology activity. And their view was that this would mean that things could only get better.
So it's also about starting low. You say they're the community areas. It's going down to the real basics of eye care and visual impairment and health, and then not just looking at it from a national scale, but looking at these smaller things and then rising up to try and help from the bottom.
Absolutely.
And improve all the way up the system.
I hope the inquiry will be beneficial. We'll promote greater understanding of the importance of booking follow-up appointments quickly, and also effect improvements in the planning and scheduling of eye appointments so that people are saved from these kind of delays that happen all too frequently at the moment, which, as I say, can be disastrous for people's personal care.
Well, Lord Lowe of Dorset, Colin, thank you very much for talking to us here at RNIB Connect Radio.
Pleasure.